Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he, the evil spirit, has thrown him, the son, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is the word of God for the people of God. For our time this morning, I want to talk about a father's gifts. A father's gifts. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time gathered in your presence and with one another. We pray, God, that you would speak and that you would give us listening ears. For we need your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. God, we need your word. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Today we celebrate the godly men in our community who are making an honest, earnest effort to serve the children in their lives as providers and nurturers and as examples. To be sure, we are all too familiar, thanks to the enthusiastic support of mainstream media, with absentee fathers and deadbeat dads, but today is not their day. It's unfair to lump them in with those fathers, grandfathers, uncles, mentors, male role models who are doing the right thing. Today on Father's Day, we celebrate those men who have claimed and sometimes who have reclaimed their rightful place in the lives of the children whom God has entrusted to their care. The fact of the matter is that most any man can participate in the act of procreation. But it takes a special man to father children. To father children according to the biblical model, to love, to instruct, to provide for, to protect, to raise the generations which follow him. As African wisdom reminds us, it takes a village to raise a child. And my brothers and my sisters, there can be no village without fathers. Not mere procreators, but loving, caring, providing fathers. You see, sperm donors just leave slums in their wake. But fathers craft villages. That seasoned men provide leadership and support to the generations who follow is part of God's design for humankind, a design established in the book of Genesis with the creation of the first multi-generational family. The biblical record is clear. Once removed from the Garden of Eden, it was Adam's job to support and to nurture his sons and daughters in the same way that God had nurtured and supported Adam. Men who follow God, men who follow God's design deserve our happy Father's Day wishes. It is the least that we can do. We who are the beneficiaries of their sacrifice and service. After all, fatherhood is an enterprise fraught with challenges. The biological processes that make one a father are well understood, but the spiritual and emotional, and not to mention in this economy, the financial issues that confront fathers are trials that men are left to muddle through the best way we can. For all of us, it is, as you have heard me say countless times before, it's a process of trial and error. The truth of the matter is that most of the time we face trials because we make so many errors. But there's no manual. There's no how-to guide for us. The best we can do is lean on the Lord and on His Word. And yet God's grace allows fathers the opportunity to learn and to grow and to become better at a task which is so close to the heart of God that God identifies God's own self as our Father. Listen, fatherhood is so important to the God, so close to His heart, that when God wrapped Himself in flesh and came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, God, our Heavenly Father, ensured that Jesus had an earthly father. The Bible makes it clear that fathers and fatherhood are important matters to God. It is with these thoughts in mind that I invite you to consider the morning's text. A text that I read as one of the great fatherhood texts of the Bible. I actually preached from it a few weeks ago, right from this pulpit, just before Pentecost Sunday. Those of you who were here might remember that sermon. Those who were online might remember, who do you belong to? I even talked about my own experience with my father and how my grandmother and her brother joked about me belonging to Prince Teal, because in my curiosity and in my busyness, I acted just like my dad. Today on Father's Day 2021, I want to mind that text again. It's found in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, and the verses which follow provide us with the lesson on godly fatherhood by showing us a father who has bestowed several gifts on his child. It is, I think, a workshop, a mini course, a seminar on what it means to be a godly father. To be sure, the father and the son in our text had difficult lives. Yet the text makes clear that the father does not give up, does not give out, does not give in. Rather, this father gives gifts to his child. Our text stands as a reminder that we who are fathers and father figures ought to endeavor to give these same gifts to the children in our care. I see you looking at me and looking at this morning's text and asking, well, what gifts does this father here give? I would suggest that the text lifts up to us at least four gifts that the father gives to his son, gifts that we should likewise endeavor to give to our children. They are the gift of presence, the gift of presentation, the gift of prayer, and the gift of persistence. Join me in the text. We find the gift of presence in verse 21, where the father testifies that he's been with his son since childhood. The gift of presentation is found in verse 17, where the father brings his son to Jesus. We find the gift of prayer in verse 24, where the father petitions Jesus for compassion and acknowledges his own shortcomings. And we find the gift of persistence throughout this narrative and in the fact that the father stays with his son until his son is cured. It's all there in the text. Just indulge me. Let's review that text one more time. The story preaches itself. Turn on the HD screen of your sanctified imagination. Flip on the surround sound. Jesus is returning from a mini retreat taken with Peter, James, and John. He had left the other nine disciples with a capital D at the foot of the mountain while the four of them went up to worship God and met with Moses and Elijah. The retreat is now over and Jesus, Peter, James, and John come down the mountain. That's where at chapter 9 and verse 14, Mark presses play. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running together greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What were you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Verse 21. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Do you see it there? A father who offers his sons the gifts of presence, presentation, prayer, and persistence. It's a model to which fathers ought to aspire, and it serves to remind us of the essence of the gospel, for in God we have a Father who does the same for us. Happy Father's Day. Let's go to work in the text. It is in the text that we see first a father who has been giving to his child the gift of his presence. We know both from the father's clear confession in verse 17 and from the context of this text that this father has been present with his son since childhood. It's the only way that he could have known the details of the boy's affliction. The father's statement, "I brought to you my son." He's been having these problems from childhood. The father's statement serves to remind us that fathers rightly owe it to their children to be present in their lives. It's a gift that we ought to give them. And notice, watch this, the text says nothing about the father's relationship with the boy's mother. Indeed, based on the information contained in this text, we know only that as a biological necessity, the boy had to have a mother. Nothing in the text even mentions her. We don't know what kind of mother she was. We don't know what kind of relationship existed between the father and her. Indeed, we don't even know whether she's alive. Let me say this clearly. The obligation to be a godly father has nothing to do with the relationship between the father and the mother. Yes, it is optimal for children to have two parents. That's the model that's lifted up for us repeatedly in the pages of the biblical text. But a father's responsibility to his children is wholly unaffected by whether he and the baby mama are together. Fathering, fatherhood. Those concepts speak to the relationship between the father and his child or his children only. Let me put it even more plainly. Whatever the situation is with the baby mama, Godly fathers do not have the privilege of divorcing their children. When Jesus asked this father about his son, the father's reply makes it clear that he took his responsibility as a father seriously and was present with his son. Let me suggest, in line with the text, that we ought to give the same gift to our children, the gift of our presence, our physical presence, our time, our resources, our energy, our effort. And this is so even when, as noted in the text, the child to whom the gift of presence is given is a difficult child. Watch the text, y'all. The child presented to us suffers from debilitating illness that appears to have spiritual, psychological, and even physical dimensions. And still, this father is present. Listen, that's the only way to give the gift of presence, is for you to be present regardless of the circumstances. It's a gift that we who would follow God's model owe to our children. Fathers, let me encourage you, reach out to your child, reach out to your children, and give them the gift of your presence. In the text, we also see that this father gives to his child the gift of presentation by bringing his son to Jesus. Focus in on verse 17 of the text. Jesus comes down the mountain, approaches the crowd, and it is the father who speaks to Jesus first. He says, "Teacher, I brought you my son." The narrative reminds us that godly fathers present their sons to Jesus. Each father who himself knows the Lord ought to bring his child, his children, to Jesus. And watch the text. Notice that it does not say, "I sent you my son." No, the text makes clear that this father took it upon himself to introduce his child to Jesus. Listen, fathers, it is our responsibility to teach our sons and daughters about our faith. It's not the job of the preacher or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. It's the job of the father. Now, let's be clear. You, father, you may not be Peter or James or John. You may not have been up on the mountain with Jesus. You may not be a preacher or a deacon or a Bible scholar, but neither was this father in our text. Watch. Nothing in our text indicates that this man knew anything formal about Jesus. All the text says is a member of the crowd. He's not presented to us as anything other than a father concerned about his child. We don't know whether this man had any theological training. Surely if he were a scribe or a Pharisee or a ruler of the synagogue, he would have been identified as such by the gospel writer. But the text says only that he is one of the crowd. Father, right now, as you are listening to this sermon, you have all the qualifications you need to give your child the gift of presentation to Jesus. Tell your child, tell your children what you know about the Lord. Help your child by introducing them to Jesus as you know him. Watch the text. The father knew Jesus as a teacher, and so that's how he presented his son to Jesus. He presented his son to the teacher. And that's the beauty of the text. It is as this father gives his son the gift of presentation that both the father and the son discover together that Jesus is much more than a teacher. You got to watch the text unfold. The father presented his son to Jesus, the teacher, but then Jesus revealed himself to both the father and the son to be a healer. And then Jesus ultimately revealed himself to be their savior. I've come to remind you, fathers, that when you give your child the gift of presentation, both you and your child are in position to discover and to learn more about Jesus. Give the gift of presentation and watch the Lord reveal himself to you in even greater ways. You want to know the Lord? Father, introduce your children to him. The Father in our text gives his Son the gift of his presence and the gift of presentation to Jesus. The text also reveals that the Father gives his Son the gift of prayer, in that this Father prays for his Son and prays for himself. Watch the dialogue between the Father and the Son. It picks up at verse 22, where the Father asks Jesus, "Have compassion on us." And then responds to Jesus by saying this with tears in his eyes, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Listen, I know the Father's language is not flowery, but I promise you it's a prayer. The Father has a little talk with Jesus and tells him all about his struggles. That's what prayer is. Prayer is telling God about what you need and believing that God can and will deliver. The Father gives his Son the gift of prayer when he engages Jesus on his Son's behalf and engages Jesus for himself. In fact, it is the Father's need to pray for his Son that drives him also to pray for himself. And just as we saw with the gift of presentation, the gift of prayer benefits both the Son and his Father. I want you to notice something about the setup of this text. I want you to understand that in this text, we see clearly that prayer is dialogue. In the prayer, the Father talks to Jesus, but watch it, Jesus talks back to the Father. We fathers ought to have some dialogue with God about our children and about our own selves. That's how we give the gift of prayer to our children. It is in and through this gift of prayer that we give our children the tools that they need to talk to God themselves. We give them the gift of prayer when our children learn to pray because they've watched our example. And again, I want you to see this. No special language is required. All you have to do, Father, is seek Jesus and talk to him for yourself. You don't have to pray like the old deacon. You don't have to sing a song and read a passage of scripture before you can call on the Lord. Just have a little talk with Jesus for yourself. In your own language, just call on the Lord. If you call on God in prayer, he'll answer. Pray for your children. Give them the gift of prayer. And in giving them the gift of prayer, you'll also bless your own self. As the text reminds us, when you pray for your child, you'll strengthen your own belief. Presence, presentation, prayer, and finally, this gift of persistence. Persistence, it's there in our text. The text clearly implies that the Father remains with his child until the healing is complete. And even when it looks as if this child has died, check out verse 26, when it looks like the child has died, the Father is still there with him. The Father stays with his child until Jesus raises him up. The text reveals to us that the Father is persistent. Recall the scene of the text. This father remained at the foot of the mountain amid the crowd with those 9 incompetent disciples, waited there with those disciples who could not heal his son until Jesus got back. The Father stayed right there. Fathers, let me encourage you, no matter what it looks like, stay right there. Be persistent. Hang in there with your gifts of presence and presentation and prayer. Hold on. Stay right there until Jesus shows up and gives you what you've been waiting on. The promise of the Word of God is that God will not withhold any good thing from those who seek him. In the book of Hebrews, God promises to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm just trying to tell you, be persistent, my brother. Hold on. Hold out. God will hold you up. Trust that God will be there with what you need. Fatherhood is full of challenges, but we have a God who understands fatherhood because God reveals God's own self to us as Father. And in fact, the biblical record establishes that God offers to us the same gifts that are set out in this morning's text. In fact, this text can be understood as the story of the gospel in miniature. It shows us the depth of God, our Father's love and compassion for us. Just like the Father in our text, God gives us, His children, the gift of His presence. The gift of God's presentation, the gift of prayer, and the gift of persistence. I promise you, this is the Word of God. The Bible records that God has been with us from the beginning. We've had the gift of God's presence. And I'm not just talking about with Adam in Genesis. But Jeremiah reminds us that God has known each of us before we were ever born. According to the prophet Jeremiah, God was present with us as we were formed in our mother's belly. And God has remained with us throughout our lives. David reminds us that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is present with us to protect and to preserve us. Yes, our God, our Father, gives us the gift of His presence. And God gives to us the gift of presentation. In fact, God gives us the gift of presentation so much so that when we couldn't get to God, God came to us. God presented Himself to us in Jesus Christ. God presented Himself to us as Emmanuel, God who is with us. That's some kind of presentation. God presented Himself to us so that we would be able to know God. I'm so glad that our Father gave us the gift of presentation, and God, who is and who was and who is to come, just keeps on presenting Himself to us. God just keeps on showing up. God keeps on showing up to heal us. He shows up to help us. God shows up to make a way out of no way. It's His gift of presentation. It is God's nature. In fact, it's God's name. That's God's name, Jehovah, which literally means I will be there when you get there. Wherever your there is, God is there presenting Himself to you. It is God's gift to us. And likewise, God, our Father, offers us the gift of prayer. Romans 8:26 tells it like this. The Spirit also helps in our weakness, for when we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Listen, that's good news. God talks to God's own self about you and me. When we don't know what to pray for, God is on the job praying for us. Yes, I can go to God in prayer, but when in my human frailty, I miss the opportunity to do so. God, my Father, prays for me just like a father should. Why? Because God is my Father. And finally, the story of the gospel reminds us of this truth. God, our Father, also gives us the gift of persistence. The Lord sticks by us on earth and promised to be with us for all eternity. Don't you hear Jesus when He tells His disciples, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age"? That's persistence. As long as there is life on earth, God promised to be with us. That means wherever you go, whatever you do, God is going to be there. The hymn writer puts it like this. He says, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own." God is going to be there. Then He speaks to us through the pen of David, reminding us, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord." Listen, that's Daddy's house. "I'll dwell in the house of my Father forever." That's the gift of persistence. God will be with us now and forever. I'm trying to tell you, God is a good father. He offers us the gift of his presence, the gift of presentation, the gift of prayer, and the gift of persistence. Why? Because God loves us. For God, our Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's his gift to us. The gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of presence and presentation and prayer and persistence, all wrapped up for you and for me. That's a good reason to tell God, Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of what fatherhood looks like and how we can do it as a practical matter. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being a good father. That's why I'll bless the Father at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. Happy Father's Day. For we have a God who loves and cares for us, a God who will provide for us, a God who is our Father, a God to whom we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I think about God's goodness, I get excited because I understand all the more what it means to say, for thine is the kingdom, Daddy, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It all belongs to God. And because he is our Father, God gives it to us. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, God. Thank you for being a good father who gives to us the gift of your presence, the gift of presentation, the gift of prayer, and the gift of persistence. This is the word of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity you have given for us to be in your presence. Bless us as we seek to be the people you are calling for us to be. Thank you. Bless us as we seek to be the fathers you are calling for us to be. Help, guide, and strengthen us. This is our prayer. Amen. We offer to you what God has already offered, the opportunity for relationship with him. Is there one who would come to this God who offers himself to us as Father? Is there one who would acknowledge and accept the gift of our Father to you, the gift of his presence, presentation, prayer, and persistence in the person of Jesus Christ? If that's you, come on. If you're present, you can come forward. If you're online, drop a one in the chat room. You can reach out to us, or we'll reach out to you, Pastor Teal at jbcgdc.org or 202-780-7134. But come on to Christ. Is there one?